Welcome to the heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called the church through His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ out into this world. For in those three commands, all of the scriptures are wrapped up, and from them are marching orders, so to speak, are given unto us that we are to live in accordance to the Word of God. Can I get an amen, church? And in that we find our life and have our being. And also, I would like to wish everyone out there, and I'd like you all to say it with me, Merry Christmas! Because that is exactly what we're here to do, is celebrate Jesus Christ. This is the day we remember and celebrate His birthday. And in that, I want to bring to you a message, the last Advent message before the Christmas message. And it is entitled, Do Not Be Afraid. Christ has come and will come again. When I was thinking about what am I going to preach today, and we all know that I've been choosing portions from the readings that we've had, the scriptures that lead us through the Advent season. And today we heard it twice, and we're going to hear it again in just a moment, because I will read those scriptures again. But what I want us to understand is twice Jesus said here, or it was said, because the Word is Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word and is God, because He still is. And in that, what I want us to think about is, why did Jesus say that we're not to be afraid? How many times does the Bible say, do not be afraid? That actual phraseology, do not be afraid, is in the Scriptures 70 times. Do not be afraid. Does anybody know what 70 is? It's 10 times perfection. 10 times perfection. In other words, God is telling us, this is something I want you to get. When it comes to me, do not be afraid. Perfectly, do not be afraid. 10 times perfectly, do not be afraid. But when you literally begin to sit down and look at all the different forms of don't be afraid that are actually in the Bible, do you realize God says to us not to be afraid over 300 times? Why does God constantly tell His people, don't be afraid? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. That is what I want to teach on today. So let us begin with the Word of God. For all truth and all life only comes through the Word of God. Can I get an amen, church? So open your Bibles to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke. And I'm going to be repeating that which was already spoken to us. And I'm going to remind us of these words that were spoken to us. We're going to be in Luke in the first chapter. Luke in the first chapter. And we're going to begin in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And we're going to read through 33. From 26 through 33 in the first chapter of the book of Luke. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now, that's not the end of that story, because that's only one of the persons involved in this marriage. So we need to look at the other partner. This was Mary who was conceiving the child. But what about Joseph, the father? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. And again, in the first chapter, we're going to begin in the 18th verse. Matthew 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Why are these words important? He said both to Mary and to Joseph, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Well, I want us to understand that there is a reason these words are important, and there is a reason that God has spoken those words to us throughout history, from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the book of Revelation. You do realize that. We are told from beginning to end not to be afraid. Because there is something in this world that we should be afraid of. And what is that something? That something is death, and that thing came through someone. And who is the someone who brought death? We know his name as Lucifer, Satan. So there is something that we need to be afraid of. But why does God keep telling us, don't be afraid, don't be afraid? Because people understand something very real. When the evil one comes after us, does he announce that he's coming? Does he proclaim himself to us? We need to remember what the scriptures speak to us and just who our God is. And in his coming, and in his coming again, we are going to need to hear, do not be afraid. And that's what I want you to address you with. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, because we need to be reminded of some of these things, especially when we think about Christmas. And I've got a story I want to tell you all, and I think it is a hilarious story, though very real, and just took place. But I want you to understand this truth. This is why Jesus is telling us, do not be afraid. From the 6th chapter, verses 10, 11, and 12. Verses 10, 11, and 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We need to understand that there is an evil ever present in our world coming at us. Its entire purpose is to destroy us, each and every one of us. Why? Because we are the chosen people of God. Every human being on the planet, every one of us that has breath in our lungs, that is of the human race, is a target for the evil one because he wants to destroy us. He can never be redeemed. He can never enter into heaven again. He can never find salvation for he has fallen from the very highest pinnacle. Remember, he took Jesus to the highest pinnacle of the temple and told him to cast himself down. That's because that's what he did. He threw himself down from the very presence of God to the lowest pit of hell. And that's where he'll remain. And he tried to get Jesus to do the same thing, and he's trying to get you and I to do the same thing. But he does it in such a way that he doesn't announce himself coming. But God does. Why? So we are not afraid. Because we know all this stuff comes at us. We know that when evil comes, it rears up its ugly head, and it just seems like we cannot get away from it. But God gives us the confidence to know. In this book, God has told us not to be afraid, and he has also told us everything that is to come. Do you understand that? And in that, we have our place. That we are to walk as children of light, children of the kingdom. We are no longer of this world that runs around tither and nay, looking for that which is going to satisfy, looking for that which is going to get us out of trouble, looking for that which brings some kind of joy. We already have it in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? And in Christ Jesus, each and every one of us needs to hear throughout our days, do not be afraid. No matter what this world tells you, you can't do, shouldn't do, or aren't allowed to do, or it's illegal because it's something they want. Now, if it's immoral and it truly breaks God's law, the answer's no. Am I right? I got heads bobbing. People on the internet can't hear your heads rattling. Yes, Pastor. But when God says do this and the world says don't, I don't listen to the world. And I pray you don't either. Because I serve God, I do not serve man. And in that I will walk and have my being. Because my being is an eternal being. Yes, I'm in a temporal body, but what resides in me is the Holy Spirit of God. And in that Holy Spirit, I am alive forevermore. And they cannot make me fear to the point that I am afraid. So therefore, Jesus needs to speak to my feeble body, to my feeble mind, and he needs to confirm to me not to be afraid. He needs to confirm to you not to be afraid, to speak up when truth needs to be spoken. How many of us have been told just shut up and walk away? No. Did Jesus shut up and walk away? No, he did not. You know, Jesus spoke the truth no matter what. How many times did they try to stone him and couldn't? Well, you know what? Jesus walked in the exact same manner we are to walk, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but Pastor, he was God. Yes, but he was fully man while he was here. He relied on the power of the Holy Spirit as much as you and I are going to rely on the Holy Spirit to get us through this life. And in that, God protected him. How much so? God took him out of the Holy Land, moved him to Egypt for a time until safety came and then brought him back. And while he was in the land and they tried to stone him because his ministry began and he began showing himself as the Christ, telling people he was God, God protected him many times and he evaded the people. Now I need to ask you a question. How good do you think the Israelites were at stoning people? Okay, that's how they got rid of you, all right? That was their way of chastising, okay? And I think about that because he was able to evade them. He was able to get away from them. I'll guarantee you, those people knew how to stone somebody. You weren't getting away from them if they wanted to stone you. But yet they couldn't lay a hand on him. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit was protecting him. Do not be afraid. You and I need to understand. They may be able to kill the body, but they cannot kill the spirit. Can I get an amen, church? And in this time of year, we need to remember that more so than anything else, because God has identified himself in Christ Jesus, and he speaks words of comfort to us, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, how many of us recite the 23rd Psalm? But do we really realize what we're saying when we speak the 23rd Psalm? We are literally telling God we know where we are. And it's you who protects us. It's you who prepares a table before us. It's you who anoints my head with oil. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What do we have to be afraid of? But yet the evil one whispers in our ears. How many of you right now are dealing with something that you are afraid of? I dare say almost every one of you is, along some line. Because the evil one wants you to doubt. He wants to rob your joy. Miss Jen, does he not want to rob our joy? Isn't that one of his greatest jobs? You know, if there's a lady who cheerleads that one, it's Miss Jen. Can we all get an amen? Amen? You betcha. And I think it's amazing because all I have to do is see Miss Jen and my joy comes right back. Because it's like, she's here, you can't touch me, Jen's here. I draw strength from you people because you are an example of Christ to me. May I be an example of Christ to you. This past week, several of us went to see a dear saint. We went to see one of our dear saints, and God bless you, Miss Gloria. I know you're watching. She's laughing now. Oh, my goodness, he's going to tell him this story. Yes, I'm going to tell him this story, Miss Gloria. We went to see Miss Gloria, and it was a mountaintop experience. Amen. We took Miss Kathleen because they've become prayer partners and they pray for all of us, okay? But they've never met. So we took Miss Kathleen, Miss Beth, Mr. Bob, myself, and all of a sudden people just started showing up at the house. It was an amazing time. It was just amazing. God was all over that place. I mean, he was flooding it. I felt like I was drowning in the Holy Spirit. And we got through the process and, you know, we did communion and we had such a wonderful time. And Miss Gloria, in her infinite wisdom, the prayer warrior that she is, she said, now before we go, she said, we need to pray because this has been a mountaintop experience and Satan's going to want to rob us from this. Praise Jesus. Pray, Miss Gloria, because it's like, no, the pastor ain't praying. The prayer warrior's praying. So we had Miss Gloria pray. And she prayed and prayed and prayed. And we left there, and boy, we felt wonderful. Took everybody home, dropped everybody off, get in the house. I'm tired. You know, I had a whole early morning, and it's now like 3:45. I go pour a cup of coffee, go in my office, in my study, and my phone's beeping. Bleep, bleep, bleep. How many of you hate hearing your phone beep? You know, as a pastor, there are some times you got to wonder what's on the other end of that beep. So I sit down with my coffee and I take a sip and I hit the button and it says, you have one new message. And the message was this. Pastor Dubs, this is the farmer over at the Dower Farm. Several of your beehives have fallen over. It's 36 degrees outside. And if they fell over, they fell over on Sunday. And it's now Wednesday. Yeah, not a good thing. Because it was raining on those bees. They're open. Can you imagine? Now, I'm a beekeeper. You know, how trivial is that, right? They're just insects. But they're my girls. You know, that's where God takes me to find solstice. They're my girls. And I'm like, oh no, if I lost three hives. And I'm going over, I'm driving over, and I'm just, you know, down, down, down. And all of a sudden, I remembered Miss Gloria's prayer. And I'm not kidding you, I got down the road, I was just going past St. Jacob's Kimmerling's church, and I said, no! Satan, you are not doing this to me. I'm going to go over here and we're going to set these beehives up and those girls are going to be just fine. And I drove over there and I pulled down and there were bees, just boxes everywhere. And I pulled in and I'm all proud. You know, I got this thing conquered in Jesus' name. And I pulled in and I didn't see one bee. And I said, oh, crud. So I got out, walked over, grabbed the first box of bees, picked it up, and I had about 1,000 bees in my face. They were hiding from me. Every one of those boxes was full and alive. They had been 3 days in rain and cold, and they survived. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. He pulled them together and they did the thing they do. They made heat for themselves. And I need you to understand something. When it gets down, when things get bad, we need to get together and we need to pull the heat, which is what? The fire of the Holy Spirit into our being. And from that we'll find the healing and the rejoicing that each and every one of us needs. Do not be afraid, for we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. For we have been set free from the prince of death, and we have been reestablished in the name of Jesus Christ, that we have the full authority of He who is able, for He is the one who sent us out. All authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now therefore go and baptizing and teaching in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you till the end of the age. You and I have nothing to be afraid of, and Jesus has spoken it. Do we believe it? You know, when He came, He had to tell them not to be afraid. Why? Because they were walking in darkness. Joseph was going to divorce Mary because she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and he doubted. Mary was ignorant of what was going on, and Mary had to be told, don't be afraid, because if she would be found pregnant, she would be divorced. So both of them were walking in darkness. How many times do you and I walk in darkness and we need to hear the voice of Jesus Christ saying to us, do not be afraid, morning is coming. And that's where every day of life is. We need to remember the sun comes up every morning. The what? The sun comes up every morning. And you and I are in the sun. And through the Son, we have life. God has guaranteed us. What does He say to us? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 12. The book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12. We're going to begin in verse 22. Verse 22. This is the Lord Jesus Himself speaking to each and every one of us. Luke, in the 12th chapter, in the 22nd verse. For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will He clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give your charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can I get an amen, church? Twice during that report, twice Jesus said to us, don't be afraid. Did you catch him? Did you catch him? You and I need to understand, God knows that we need all the things that happen in this world. How many of us right now are realizing our paycheck doesn't go as far as it used to did? Yes, I said that, used to did. I'm Pennsylvania Dutch. That's proper Dutch. That's not proper English. It's proper Dutch. We are all finding difficulty at this point in time. And that difficulty is going to get worse. How many of us believe the Bible is the true Word of God? Every hand ought to be in the air. Every hand out there ought to be in the air. This is the true Word of God. Do you know He tells us that this stuff is coming? Do you know He tells us about all the different things that we are looking at in our world today? All the hardships. Now, does God tell us when to buy that new refrigerator or that new car? No. That's your choice, okay? But God tells us of the eternal things. He tells us, He forewarns us. Therefore, we are not to be afraid, that we understand God's plan from beginning to end is working its way out. Do we trust Him? That is the question that He's getting at. Do you trust Him? Are you going to walk in Him? Is the light of the world lighting your path? You know, we light 4 candles here to represent the light of the world, chasing the darkness away from us. But yet so many of us succumb to the darkness that is out there because we fear it. Would you stop fearing Him? Remember, He who controls your anger or your emotions controls you. May Christ bring you joy always. Now, does that mean that we need to celebrate in our sin? No, absolutely not. But we need to celebrate in the fact that Jesus Christ has come to set us free from our sin when we confess that to Him, and then we begin walking in a manner that brings us to health and wholeness. Can I get an amen, church? Because I'll guarantee you right now, your pastor's still walking in that. And I will walk in that until the day I die, and so will you. Because each and every one of us is a fallen human being, and we all mess up. How many of you here messed up at least once this week? Now, if I asked the question, how many of you messed up 200 times this week? We're a mess. You've heard me say often, the church is not perfect. We serve a Savior who is. Can I get an amen? The church is broken. We are a bunch of hypocrites in clothing. Because we tell everybody that we are pure, you know, we're good and everything's right, and everybody else is watching us and saying, look how messed up they are. And the reality is, I'm going to tell you I'm messed up. And I'm going to tell you you're messed up. And you all are like, is he looking at me? Yes, I'm looking at you. Because we are. But praise God for the Son who was born, who is the light of the world, who now illuminates us to the darkness of our very lives, doesn't hold it against us, but uses it to draw us to Him. Because when we forsake that darkness and we receive the blood of Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world, yeah, that's what my tie says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Amen? That's where we are. But Jesus isn't done there. Turn in John 14. Turn to John 14. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about these things. God has us covered. That means to walk with Him, to be right with Him, to seek Him out in all things, and to forsake the evil of our lives, and to walk in the newness of life. John 14, 1 through 7. Because Jesus has words here He wants us to understand. He wants us to know that He has us covered from 1 through 7. And then I'm going to jump over to 23 through 27 because I want to slim this down. It's speaking the same thing beginning to end, but I want to pull some out here. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And this is us. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where You are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus says to us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. From now on, hear these words, church. From now on, you know him and have seen him. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we have seen God. Do you understand? We have no reason to be afraid. There is nothing under heaven and earth that can harm us. Yes, this body will die. Yes, they can kill the body, but they cannot kill the eternal soul. Can I get an amen? And that's what we need to remember. I want you to think about the early Christians who were in the Colosseum in Rome, who were being killed, tortured, destroyed, eaten by lions. They would not renounce their faith. Did they lose? No, they won the victory in Jesus Christ. For now they are seated with him in heaven, awaiting the rest of us who are yet to come. Can I get an amen? Woo. Need some water, Miss Jen. When we think of what God has prepared for us, we need to understand that we are not alone. Jump over to verse 23. Jump over to verse 23 in John 14. Jesus here is speaking to each and every one of us. How many of you want to receive the victory? To be not afraid? Then here's the words of Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. How many times in these two little readings out of the book of John did Jesus say, don't be afraid? Three times. Because he knows what we need, and he is going to send the Holy Spirit to bring us that confidence that each and every one of us need. You know, I'm going to tell on myself here right now, and this goes out to every man out there and every woman out there. I always wanted my daddy's approval. I wanted to impress my dad. I wanted my dad to love me, and that meant I had to get his approval. And my father was a messed up man. That's all I'm going to say on that fact, because I don't know that I ever heard from him but one time, I love you. And that was because I had gotten myself into trouble and he was trying to see that I turned from the trouble. But at that time, I was 18 years old and it was like too late, too little, too late, Dad. Don't really care anymore. Because all my life, I lived for his accolades. All my life, I lived to hear him say, I love you, I'm proud of you. And I never heard it but one time because he was fearful that there would be some trouble and he wanted me to turn. And then one day, I'll never forget it, my life was at its end. I was going to commit suicide. This is the truth. I was going to commit suicide. I was leaving work and I was going down to Wrightsville, Pennsylvania, and I was jumping off the bridge at the Susquehanna River. You all here in Lebanon know right where that is. I had given up. There was no reason for me to be alive. And I sat down. This is truth. I sat down in the machine shop on a wooden crate. And I said, Lord Jesus, if you're real, show me. Because I don't have any reason to live. And I just sat there with my head in my hands. And it was quiet. How many of you ever heard quiet, so quiet it hurts? It was a dark place. And I remember hearing three words. I love you. I mean, they were in my ear. It wasn't in my spirit. It was in my ear. First time I ever heard God's voice. I love you. I jumped up because I wasn't a Christian. I jumped up with fists drawn. I was ready to punch somebody. Somebody was messing with me and they were going to get the full fury. And I looked around. This is God as I stand here. Now, I worked with about 85 people in the area where I worked. There was nobody there. Shop was empty. My foreman wasn't at his desk. All the people who ran machines around me, they were all gone. I'm like, what is going on? There's nobody there. So I sat back down, and man, I thought I was losing it. How many of you would have thought you were losing it? I sat back down, and I called on his name. I said, Lord, I'm losing it. I'm losing it. Oh, I can't wait to get out of here. I no sooner than spoke those words out of my mouth, and I heard these words. Rich, I love you. You know, when God speaks your name, you know who's talking to you. And he has spoken your name. Just as he spoke my name that day, and when I looked up, there he was. No, I didn't see a face, but what I saw was a man standing there whose face I couldn't see. But I could see his hands and I could see his feet. That's all I could see of him. Everything else was so bright, I couldn't see anything. And he repeated it again. Rich, I love you. I'm alive today because of that. And he has kept me from death 7 more times since then. Because our God loves us and he's calling our name. Do not be afraid of this world. He has won the victory and he has said to us, I have overcome. Take heart. Don't be afraid. That's what that means. And in that we have the hope of eternity. But we got to get through this life. And this life is not going to be easy. But Jesus has come and he is coming again. And in his coming, he had to tell us not to be afraid. And he is speaking to each and every one of us right now as we see the troubles of the times coming up around us. Do not be afraid. I am coming. If anything, may these signs that you see happening, the wars, the rumors of wars, the pestilence, all the things that we see coming, may they remind us that his coming is nigh. When you see these things, what does he say? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that's where we are, brothers and sisters. Do not be afraid. And what does he speak to us in that reality? Turn into your Bibles, into Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter, again, as I said, from beginning to end, Jesus speaks these words to us. So we have to end in the book of Revelation. We're going to end at the beginning. Until we're done, we're going to be at the very back. Revelation chapter 1. He speaks to us these words, verses 17 through 19. From verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last, the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. God has told us everything that is to come. We have nothing to be afraid of, but we have everything to celebrate because he is coming again. How do I know that? Read on from the eighth verse of the second chapter. To the angel of the church in Samaria write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Jesus is telling us, I know this time of trouble is coming upon you because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. We are outside of this world. We're in a different kingdom. We're in a different reality, for our spirit resides with God. Therefore, do not be afraid. But remember, God is here, and he is going to get us through all of this stuff. We're going to suffer some stuff between now and the coming of the Lord. How many of you have read the Bible, and you see the things that are coming in the tribulation? It is not going to be easy, and I need to speak to you women, and men, pay attention. Ladies, when does the pain of birth start? well before the child comes. Can I get an amen, ladies? It's called birth pains. That's how we know the baby's coming. Are we in the midst of those birth pains? Yes, we are. And we're going to be able to see to that time when this thing is going to be birthed. This thing, what thing? The tribulation is going to be birthed. And that's what Jesus is telling us. But need we remember that before the tribulation begins, for we shall not see his wrath, you and I will be received up out of here. And in that, do not be afraid, but walk. And we have a job to do. What does he tell us to do? Love God, love others, and go. We are to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and do not be afraid, because he is on his way. Just as Mary and Joseph had to be told, don't be afraid because of the darkness that they were in, so too we are being told, don't be afraid because of the darkness that we are in. And may we find the light, which is Jesus Christ, to give us all strength and purpose. Turn to the last chapter of your Bible, Revelations chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. I am trembling up here, people. Whew. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13 and 16. 12, 13, and 16. If you've got a red letter Bible, what color are those words? Red. This is the words of Jesus Christ to each and every one of us. He says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Day is coming. The light is coming. Once again, do not be afraid. He has put all this down for you and I to know that all we need to do is get through this time. Do that which is right. Trust in He who is the Lord our Savior. Turn from your evil ways. Repent from all those things of darkness that each and every one of us have done. And do not be afraid. Can I get an amen, church? Let us pray on this Christmas Eve. Father God, we come before you as children of the promise. We come before you with the words that we are not to be afraid. And Lord God, we hold fast to those words. We see what's coming. We understand what's coming. And Lord, may we be the church of Jesus Christ, filled with the power of light to illuminate the darkness of our land, to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring help to all who have need. And may we understand that that's not us, but that's you, Jesus the Christ. So, Lord, bless this, our Christmas Eve, unto the new year. For, Lord, we're getting ready to start another one. And in that, may we be found faithful. And may we truly proclaim the Christ who has come and who is to come and who will come. In Jesus' holy name, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.